Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Well, some of you may have heard, actually, let me just back up. I'm not going to give you the title to my message just until I get through this part because it's not going to make sense otherwise, okay? So some of you may have heard about the health concerns about the 5G network. And some of you are looking at me right now and you're thinking, what is 5G? And some of you are like, yes, finally, someone's going to say something about this thing. Well, whether you do know about it or you don't, let me bring to your attention some of the concerns that people have around the world about the 5G network. Now, let me just say right up front, this isn't some sort of political speech. I just want to play with this thing a little. But if you're not aware of some of the concerns that people have, all you need to do is just type into Google, 5G network, and boom, it all comes up. One of the concerns is that some people believe that the 5G network is what caused the coronavirus, that it actually mutated cells inside of us, and that's how we have now got COVID-19 happening in the world. Some people believe that the 5G network has got the ability to kill birds and plant life, and that would be due to what happened in Hague in 2018, where 297 birds literally just fell out of the sky, and they were just all over the roads. And apparently there was a 5G tower not too far away from that whole event, so woohoo! Okay, I think the most powerful concern, whether it's true or not, I don't know, and I'm going to just explain it to you in a moment, but is that the 5G network was originally, now remember, I don't really know the facts on all these things, I'm just going by what I read, was originally developed as a weapon. So this thing has the ability to be weaponized. In other words, it can be so concentrated that it can actually kill people, is what I'm saying. And that's the big concern going on around the world. But the main thing that people are concerned about when it comes to the 5G network is its ability to actually destroy your brain cells, that it can literally start coming through the airwaves through what they call the electromagnetic small wave. So it's a little bit different to our 4G or 3G network, apparently. And I'm going to keep saying apparently because I'm not a scientist. I don't really know the facts, but I'm just trying to tell you what people are concerned about, right? And so it has the ability to get into your brain and to actually alter your thinking, disrupt your thoughts, and to even maybe change your behavior. Now, let me say this very clearly. I am no expert. I'm not trying to conjure up any type of fear. It's all over the internet, so I know you probably don't need to hear more about it. But this is where I want to be just a little bit cheeky today to say, although I am no expert in the 5G network and I don't know what it actually does to your brain, I definitely know of another 5Gs that definitely can get into your brain. And those 5Gs will kill your confidence, they will kill your future, they will kill your relationships and anything else that you really hold dear. And so this series that is coming up is actually called 5Gs That Definitely Will Kill You. And it's got nothing to do with the 5G network. I'm just going to talk about five different topics for these next few weeks that I believe, if we allow this thinking into our minds, will actually have a huge impact on our lives in the negative. However, if we do what the Word of God says and we put into practice everything that Jesus told us to do and the entire Word of God, I believe that our future will be bright in Jesus' name. So let's start off with our first G, and our first G is this one. The five Gs that will definitely kill you. First one, grass is greener. The grass is greener. Come on, how many times have we heard about the grass being greener on the other side? And that's basically a quote or a statement that deals with the topic of comparison. And so I just want to talk to us just for a moment about this destructive habit that some people have, including myself, and something I've got to continually work through. And I just want to talk to us about that just for a moment. Do you know, when I was much younger, I was in Bible college and I went to Vanuatu. And what a life-changing experience that was for me. I remember going there, I left my residence, the place that I lived, and it was a lovely home. And I go over to Vanuatu and I watch these little kids playing with newspaper with a little bit of sticky tape. and they create soccer balls out of that, and they were happily playing in the dirt with no soccer boots, no socks, just playing in the dirt. And I've never seen kids smile like that. It absolutely shocked me how happy these kids were. And I thought, what's going on here? Well, it wasn't long until we actually went to a couple's home for dinner. And when we went to their house, they literally had dirt floors, friends. Dirt floors. And there was just one little timber bench, and you could see where they all slept. And so they made this little table for us, and we were eating, and I've got to tell you, the food was lovely. But they were so happy. Incredibly, I couldn't believe how happy they were. But this wasn't just one family. We went to multiple families, and it was the same story over and over again. They were just so happy. So anyway, 14 days later, I come back to Melbourne, and I'm like, wow, my life has changed. And some of you know what I mean. It's that culture shock. And you come back. And I remember I went to a family's home, and this lady, this family had just built a brand new home. And I remember I walked in, and she was wiping down her, back then it was Caesarstone had just come out, and she was wiping down her bench. And I said, wow, look at your home. It's beautiful. And she didn't have the same smile as that lady in that house did. And I said to her, is there something wrong? She just said, she goes, word for word, she goes, yeah, no, it's okay. I just wish this was marble. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Dirt floors, happy. Caesarstone, unhappy. And so I eventually had to just say, why? It looks so beautiful. Yeah, no, I know, but my sister-in-law has just put a marble one in. Ah, there it is. There it is. She would have been happy with her Caesarstone if she just didn't look over the fence to see that the grass was greener. Comparison is so destructive, friends. And this poor lady who should have been enjoying her brand new Caesarstone top was now disappointed. She didn't have a peace in her heart simply because of comparison. Now, the thing is, how are we supposed to escape this thing? How are we supposed to not treat life as a competition when we actually call ourselves the human, wait for it, race? That's what we call ourselves. The whole thing is it's a race. And look, I've got to tell you, when I see why people are motivated to do well in life, often it's because they want to better their lives, and that's great. Often they want to better the world. They want to build a community, they want to build a business, whatever it is that they want to do. But you know, some people are driven by something that's really sinister. And Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 4 says it like this. He says, then I observed that most people, watch this, most people are motivated to success because they envy their neighbors. He says, but this too is meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. Can you believe that? What he's saying is some people just wake up every day and the only thing that motivates them is what their neighbors are doing and just trying to get one up on their neighbors. Friends, it's a really unhealthy way to live. So can we, right from the outset, come on, I want you to get your heart ready as we delve deeper into this, because the spirit of comparison, friends, will strip you of your joy. It'll strip you of your confidence. It'll strip you of everything that God has for you. We actually see that this whole mess that we are in called earth, with sin and darkness and terrorism and everything that's going on in the world, you know, it all started in the garden. But what happened in that garden? Well, we actually read about it. The enemy, Satan, is talking to Eve, who has got everything. She's got everything given to her. And he says, eat from the tree. And she says, no, I can't eat from the tree. She says, if I eat from the tree, I'm going to die. And verse 4 says, he says to her, you won't die. The serpent replied to the woman, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it. And then he says, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. What did he do? Let me tell you what the enemy did here. He basically created a gap in Eve's life. She thought she was perfect up until that time. She thought she had everything that she needed. She had oranges and mandarins and everything that she needed. But the devil said, no, I know you think you've got it all, but do you realize that there's more? And because of that, she went ahead and disobeyed God. I wonder how many things we do that we know we shouldn't do. We shouldn't buy, we shouldn't go, we shouldn't wear, we shouldn't say, simply because we are just in the comparison trap. where we just feel like, I don't want to do this, but I've got to do it because she's doing it. I don't want to buy that, but he bought it, so I now need to buy it. And some of us are buying things and going places that we can't afford simply to please people that we don't even like. Why would we do that, friends? Come on, let's make a stand and just live the life that God has for us. He opened her eyes, and all it did is it created a comparison trap to which she then, as we all know, spiritually died, and so did he. That's where it always leads. You somehow die on the inside. You know, it wasn't long ago that one of our young ladies was doing what they call a debutante ball. For those of you around the world, I don't know what you would call it. I think in the US they call it the prom, something along those lines. And anyway, in Australia, in some schools, I think they're sort of phasing this out, but they actually wear a beautiful white dress. It's almost like a wedding. But a lot of schools now, it's just a really nice dress, and they go and they dance and they do all those things. Well, anyway, some of these dresses can be quite expensive. So this one young lady that I heard about went to a shop. It was the first shop she went into. She tried something on and she loved it. And much to the joy of her dad, because it was actually quite inexpensive. When he looked at the price tag, he was like, yay. And he goes, are you sure you like it, honey? She said, Dad, I love it. Well, she took it home, put it into that bag that they give you, and off she goes. When she got home, some of her cousins were there. And they said, so did you buy your dress? She said, yes. And when she told them where she bought it from, one of them said, oh, that place, oh, yeah, that's, you know what, that's where the sort of people who can't afford things sort of go, and began to pull apart the place where she bought this dress. And she fell for it. She went back out and she said, Dad, I don't want this dress anymore. You know, some people have got the unhealthy gift of making us aware about things that we don't want to be made aware about. Wouldn't it have been great if the young girl said, you know what, yeah, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I love my dress and it fits me and it's great, and who cares that I didn't pay much for it? It's actually a blessing. Hey, why don't we have an attitude that when we've bought something, when we're doing something, when we're going somewhere, when we're going on a holiday, or maybe the person that you're dating, when people try and make you aware of the gaps, why don't we have a big spirit and say, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I don't care. I just don't care. And that'll make those people so angry, because they'll see in you a spirit where you just don't care about things like that. Wouldn't it have been great if Adam and Eve said, yeah, look, I know that apparently we can be more like God, but we don't care, because our God is beautiful to us and he loves us. Hey, listen, am I the only person that has a love-hate relationship with social media? I love it. I love seeing what some of you are up to. I know some of you love seeing what I'm up to. I love it for the beautiful photos that we can take. I love it that it tells me if you're unwell, I can see a photo that maybe you've broken your arm or whatever it may be, and I can call. I love that aspect. But the part that I hate is when I look on there and I'm looking at photos, and then the enemy just uses, hey, wow, you haven't been to that place. Wow, you don't have that many. Wow, you don't. And I don't know about you, but I have gotten onto social media feeling great, but by the time I get off, I feel miserable. And then that makes me think, well, just delete the thing and just get off it. But then I think, but no, because it does connect me to you and you to me. And so what do we do? Well, I think maybe part of the answer is maybe get off it, or build a spirit that just doesn't compare. And you just say to yourself, I'm just not going to do that. You know, comparison will do one of two things. It'll either make you proud that you're better than, or you will feel insecure that you are less than. Both those things are bad things. They're both bad things. So we just can't afford to compare. You know, Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel, and the Bible tells us that both sons went to offer something to the Lord. And the Bible says that God received Abel's, but he rejected Cain's. Now, there's a whole lot of teaching as to why that happened. But basically, God came to Cain and he said, Cain, don't be angry. If you do the right things, I'll accept your sacrifice too. Well, that wasn't good enough for Cain, because comparison was doing its work in him so much so that it wasn't like literally one verse later, he and his brother go out into the field and he kills his brother. Why? What made him do that? Comparison. Do you know what comparison does? It makes you want to kill people. Now, literally physically sometimes, but sometimes you just want to kill their character. or you just want to kill their dream. Or you, there's something inside you just says, yeah, but do they have, and whatever it is that you fill in the blanks for. Listen, comparison is a horrible thing. We need to get this statement into our spirit. And I've been saying this for years. Someone winning is not you losing. I'm going to say that again. Somebody winning is not you losing. Someone in a different company getting a job promotion, they now haven't stolen your promotion. You can still get promoted too. Somebody buying their third home shouldn't make you feel jealous and feel like, man, I hope they go broke. Why? God can bless you too. It's someone winning is not you losing. In actual fact, when you're happy for someone, you're actually saying to God, God, what you've done for them, do for me. Whereas when you curse it in their life, then God says, okay, well, if you don't want it to happen for them, then why should I do it for you? So come on, let's have a spirit where we're actually happy for people. Come on, somebody. Someone needs to give me a big amen out there. I know this is challenging and we're like, ah. But it's important, friends. If we want to live a big life, these are the sort of people that we need to be. Some of you have heard me say this before. Actually, I haven't said this for a long, long time, so I'm going to say it again. It's about a guy called Richie. I didn't want to use anyone else's name because you might think I'm picking on you, okay? So Richie isn't happy. He's not happy with who he is, and he wants to be more like Frankie. So he walks like Frankie, he talks like Frankie, and he tries to be Frankie. But Frankie isn't really happy with who he is, so he's trying to be like Billy. But Billy is trying to be like Sammy, and Sammy is trying to be like Joey, and Joey is trying to be like Harry, and Harry is trying to be like Richie. What am I saying to you, friends? You know what? You could be looking to the next person, but you'll be surprised that it will go all the way around and then people just want to be just like you. Do you know there are people right now saying they wish that they could be just like you. And here you are thinking that you wish you could be like someone else, but they're hoping that they could be just like you. So why don't you just love you? Why don't you just be glad that you are who you are with the gifts that you have and the talents that you've got? Come on, run your own race. I love what the Apostle Paul says in Acts 20, verse 24. Are you getting something out of this? Are you enjoying this? Come on, it's a good challenge, isn't it? We need to get this into our spirit. He says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. He says, my only aim, I love this, watch this, is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. He knew what he was all about. And he wasn't concerned about what everyone else was doing or achieving. He was happy for everybody, but he was making sure he achieved what God had called him to do. He says, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. I love the way he uses that illustration of a race. Come on, many of us have watched the Olympics or we've watched some type of athletics program where we've seen people running around tracks. But how many of us know that a sprinter and his body shape and his strength is very different to a marathon runner? Why? Because this guy's running 100 metres and this guy's got to run 42 kilometres. And you cannot take a marathon runner and put him into a sprint and expect him to win that race. His body is just not built for it. He's got different types of muscles. Same goes for the sprinter. Put him into a marathon and see how far he can run. Now, the reality is he probably could run 42 kilometres because they're very healthy people. But would he win the marathon? I doubt it very, very much. What am I saying? We've all got different gifts and talents for different races. And God expects us to run our race. And while you're very busy longing that you could run that race, that person's longing that they could run your race. But at the end of the day, you're not going to win if you run that race. You're not going to achieve what God's got for you. It takes different gifts to achieve different things in life. Do you know, I've heard this said before. We need to stop caring about what people say. At 20, we wonder what everyone thinks about us. And then at 40, we don't care what people think about us. And then we get to 60 and we realize nobody was actually thinking about us. And friends, I've got to tell you, I think that's the complete truth. Everyone's concerned about their own life right now. Let's stop worrying about what people are saying about us. Do you know, there's a really dark side to this whole comparison thing, and we actually find it in 1 Samuel 18. And we already know that there was a guy called King Saul, and he was a great king, and under him was this young boy called David. And David was under his leadership and he was fighting battles with Saul. But David was doing very, very well. Now, remember, this is the same David that killed Goliath, right? So this guy was skilled in battle. And the Bible tells us that he was doing so well that he was killing tens of thousands of people and Saul was only killing thousands of people, right? It's funny how they celebrate things like that. But they actually wrote a song. And so here's the song that they were singing. And it says, again, this is 1 Samuel 18. It says, Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. This made Saul very angry. Friends, why would that have made him angry? He was on his team. They were fighting the same battle. Why would he get angry about this? He says, what's this? He said, they credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands. Next, they'll be making him their king. What a terrible thought to have. He should have been happy for his young leader, but no. He says, from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Hey, I've got a great question for you. Probably a little bit early in the day to even be asked this question, but can I just ask it anyway? Who are you keeping a jealous eye on? Come on, let's be honest. Is this, you know, usually it's not a plethora of people. It's only one or two people that we seem to keep a jealous eye on. Well, you know what? This is what happened next. It says, from the very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul. Did you hear that? A tormenting spirit came. Do you know, when we are in this trap of comparison, friends, all it does is it torments you. Just make a decision today. I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to be me and I'm going to allow God to bring things into my world, to take things out of my world, and I'm going to be happy with whatever God does in someone else's life, but this is my life. Let's decide that's the sort of people that we are going to be. Amen. So very quickly, with the few minutes that I have left, how do we overcome this comparison thing? How do we do that? Well, number one, be content with who you are. It's that, friends, that's how you look. Go look in the mirror. Pretty much, that's how you look. You might make yourself a little bit prettier or a little bit more handsome, but pretty much, that's who you are. Be content with your children. Be content with your partner. Now, I know that we would all like things to grow and things to change and things to get better. Nothing wrong with that. But we need to have a spirit that's full of contentment. It's actually a very godly trait to actually be content. And if you want to break the cycle of comparison, can I challenge you right now? Celebrate other people's wins. If you hear someone's got a promotion, bought a new car, bought a house, don't let it mess you up. Get on the phone and say, hey, I heard you bought a home. Well done, buddy. And you will find the spirit of comparison just leaves you. It just dissipates. Why? Because you've celebrated someone's win. Isn't that what you would want if you had bought that home, started that relationship, whatever it may be? Get on the phone, text somebody, and break the cycle of comparison. Some of you know about Peter and John when Jesus says to Peter, hey, Peter, you're going to die on a cross for me. You're actually going to die for me. And then Peter just can't help himself. And he says, but what about John? And then he actually hears that John's going to actually, Jesus said, if I choose that he's going to live until I come back, what's that to you? But can you see, even in the disciples, immediately there was a spirit of comparison that rose up. Come on, let's have a spirit that rejoices. Peter should have rejoiced when he heard that John was going to live and not die. He should have, but we don't hear that. We don't hear that he rejoiced. Now, maybe he did, but we don't know. But Romans 12:15 says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Hey, for some of us, friends, we're very good at weeping with those who weep because we've got a mercy spirit. I get that. But sometimes we're not very happy with those who are happy. And we need to get much, much better at that. Do you know, you can't genuinely love someone if secretly you want them to fail because of a spirit of comparison. Friends, that's not love. You know, I've got three children, and no matter what my children tell me, no matter what they tell me, I'm never in the comparison trap with my kids. They could tell me that they have won the lottery and there'd be nothing inside me that would go, oh, but why wasn't that me? I'd be like, yes, go kids. Do you know, I've got to have that same attitude toward anybody in my world. Why wouldn't I have that attitude? Them winning is not me losing. They didn't take that out of my bank account. It got added to theirs and that's great. We've got to be happy for that. Have a look at what Galatians chapter 6 verse 4 says. It says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone. What's it saying? Just put your head down, work hard, And as you see people winning, just celebrate with them. Hey, ladies, you know what? You don't need to compare yourself to any other woman in your world, especially thinking that maybe, you know, my husband's going to start looking in that direction. I'm serious. It's a real thing for people. Listen, he chose you. He could have chosen anybody, but he chose you. And we've just got to get that spirit out, because that spirit doesn't show our true best side. And if we want to be someone where our partners are seeing the best side of us, don't allow the spirit of comparison to come out. Jesus never allowed comparison to take place. Do you know, when he was talking to the centurion one day who had amazing faith, that's the man that said, Jesus, you don't even need to come to my home. You can just say a word. And Jesus was like, what? I have never seen such faith. You'll notice that it doesn't say, and then Jesus began to make eyes at Thomas. It doesn't say that. Can you imagine it said that? And Jesus looked at Thomas and began to shake his head. No, it doesn't say that. You know what? Jesus was celebrating that centurion's faith and he left it there. Hey, listen, if you're going to compare yourself, there's one person we can compare ourselves to, and that's Jesus. Actually, the Bible tells us to do that. It says, look unto Jesus, looking to him. Somehow, when we look to him, it's actually not comparison in the negative sense. The Bible says we become like him when we do that. So friends, my encouragement to you today is to rejoice in who you are. And why don't you rejoice in what God is doing in other people's lives? And you will find that when it comes to that first G that can kill you, comparison, knowing, believing that the grass is greener somewhere else, friends, you're going to be someone that overcomes the first G. There's four more of these to come, so I hope you guys are ready for them. And I tell you what, they all end on a positive note. And this is the positive note, friends. We can overcome this thing and we can live a life that doesn't destroy us, and we don't go from day to day being depressed and full of anxiety. No, no, we can be full of joy and love and happy for people. Is anybody else with me? Come on, guys. Let's give Jesus a huge round of applause right where you are. Come on, we haven't done this for a while. This is what I would have got you to do inside a church. Can I pray for you? Let me pray for the spirit of joy to come upon your life. Father, I thank you. Lord, although this is a message about comparison, it's actually being joyful for people. Father God, celebrating people's lives. And I pray for everyone that is watching that, Lord God, you will just help them to overcome the spirit of comparison in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.